B-Pod Studios.
He's got no one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Have you spoken to anyone on the Patriots content team or anyone involved in the incident?
Yeah, I'm really focused on getting ready for the Bengals here. I think all that's being handled internally, or however it's being handled. I don't know. Again, I have no involvement in this and no knowledge of it, and so I really don't have any idea what exactly is going on. I can tell you that we've never, as a coaching staff, and I personally have never viewed any video footage at all of anything that those production people have done, other than what's shown on public television or something like that. But we don't have anything to do with what they do. So I really don't have much knowledge of the situation at all.
All right, let's get right into it. That's one of Bill Belichick's comments from today. He did a conference call, pre-scheduled conference calls with the New England media and the Cincinnati media. And he was asked about the latest taping allegations in both, and that was one of his answers. We'll play more throughout the course of the day. There's been fresh reporting on it throughout the afternoon, so I'll get you updated on that as well. But let's just start with what you guys believe and don't believe, just generically. What do you believe happened here, Maz? And what are your thoughts on it at this stage?
So I think that, generally speaking, what we're being told, I believe it. I think that they were there to do a feature. I think that they probably had based on one of the recent reports that's out, there's 8 minutes of video focused on the Bengals sideline. I don't know why that is. I'm eager to find out why, but I think that my guess is it was somehow part of this thing, and maybe that makes me naive, but the short answer is this. I believe generally the Patriots are telling the truth, and maybe that makes me a complete donkey for believing that. Okay, maybe it makes me a complete donkey for believing that. But I think it really looks bad because of their past. And to me, this only highlights how stupid they were 12 years ago because of the damage they did to their own credibility. So the problem with the Patriots is anytime something like this pops up, everybody thinks the worst. And they brought that on themselves. But in this case, I don't believe that it was done by the football department. I don't.
Murray, you have a thought?
Yeah, and fans, I don't think can really be all that mad about the perception, because like Maz said, that they brought that on themselves with the first Spygate and everything that happened with the stupid deflated balls 4 years ago, whatever it was. But this, maybe I'm naive, but much like Maz, I refuse to believe that they needed to look at the signals in the sideline and get intel on a 1-12 team. I almost find it insulting as a fan of the team. Like, don't tell me that. You don't need to stoop to that level. So the 8 minutes, I don't know, how do you explain that away? Maybe it's just someone that didn't really know what the hell that they were doing. They just kept the camera rolling while they were just trying to, I don't know. I can't believe for a second that they were sitting there trying to get intel on a 1-12 team.
Okay, so that's the part I don't believe, the 8 minutes, and I'll get to that in a second. I'll start with what I do believe, and I do believe they're telling the truth. When Bill says he had no idea about it, and I'm talking about specifically what went down Sunday in Cincinnati, there is no freaking way that he instructed the Kraft Sports production crew to go into the press box and in your Bruins sweatshirt in front of other scouts and personnel shoot the Bengals sideline. There is no way Bill Belichick knew about that, condoned that, ordered that. Okay, so that's sort of obvious, right?
Yeah, it's so brazen, if there was something nefarious going on, that he can't be that dumb.
Okay, so there is no way he knew or endorsed or instructed the Patriots videographer in the Bruins gear to shoot the Bengals sideline from the press box. Okay, so that I believe. And if you're just catching up, that was a detail that was included in the report in The Athletic today, from the Cincinnati reporter. Sources say Patriots video focused for 8 minutes on Bengals sideline. That's the headline. I'll just read you the story quickly. Imagine being a Bengals staff member sitting down to watch the game in the second row of the press box when somebody sits down in front of you during the first quarter, pulls out a video camera and starts recording. You watch and see the viewfinder locked on the Cincinnati sideline and realize the videographer is connected to the New England Patriots wearing Bruins gear. This is what happened on Sunday in Cleveland. Unbelievably, that's what happened, considering the history of such offenses. Okay, so there's no way Bill knew, endorsed, ordered that. Okay, so that I believe. The piece about 8 minutes for B-roll or cutaway, I have a hard time believing that. According to sources who have viewed the tape, it shows about 8 minutes of footage focusing on recording the Bengals sideline. It is a direct view of the sideline as players run on and off the field and coaches make signals for plays. This isn't an over-the-shoulder shot of the advanced scout, says the story, who's doing his job and that stuff. This is shooting the sideline for an extended period of time. The egregious nature of the video is why it set off the firestorm it did during the game with the Bengals executives in the press box. So the tape's going to show it. And this is the report. Maybe the report's wrong, right? So who knows? But if the tape shows a focused, steady shot on the Bengals sideline, coaches signaling, players coming in and out for 8 minutes, I'm sorry. I don't believe that that's B-roll cutaway for, I don't. I've done plenty of stories as a TV reporter. I know B-roll. I know, you know, how long is that cutaway supposed to be? 10 seconds, 30 seconds? So you shoot 2 minutes to get your 30 seconds, and a cutaway is not 30 seconds. It's like 10. It's like 5. So you shoot a minute to get your 10 seconds or 2 minutes to get your 30 seconds. 8 minutes straight.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for the 8 minutes either.
And the only reason it stopped at 8 minutes is because they finally got confronted.
They got interrupted, right?
It was just rolling, so it would have been 15 minutes. It would have been whatever. Sorry. So somewhere in between Bill not knowing anything, not ordering anything, because certainly Bill Belichick would not tell his guy in the Bruins gear to walk into the press box and start shooting the sideline. Somewhere in between that and no, we just work for Kraft Sports Productions and we're getting a cutaway. Somewhere in between there is the truth. So what is it? I don't know yet. I can't tell you. I mean, I can tell you they did it when it comes to Deflategate. I can tell you that. And I can tell you they did it when it came to Spygate. I can't tell you that with this. I can only tell you what I believe.
Well, once we see the tape, we'll get our answers, right? Like, if you see real focus shots, if you see them zooming at all, like, they're going to be screwed.
So, yes, for sure. But even if it's just trained on the coaches, and they're, you know, the coaches are generally in one spot. I mean, I don't know. Is their D coordinator in one spot? The OC in one spot? Again, we'd have to see it, right? But what's middle ground? Like, what would be a middle ground thing? And here's a middle ground thing. That Ernie Adams is still on staff. Ernie Adams is still obsessed with the other sideline. He's constantly looking at the other sideline. We know this. They constantly are looking at the other sideline. We know this from the Super Bowl Do Your Job videos where they're looking at the Seahawks sideline and they don't like the way that that looked in the last minute. And even this last Rams game, they made a point. There was a cutaway of Bill saying, where's McVay? I got to get eyes on McVay. Where is he? And they had to ice. So they're still looking at the other sideline. So somehow there's something they glean from the other sideline. And that's part of their advanced scouting. And so some Ernie, for example, just, and I don't know this, but this would be a, for example, middle ground. Ernie says to that crew on the way out the door, if you can get me some sideline stuff, get me some sideline stuff. We still use it, you know? And that's what it is. And the idiot in the Bruins gear waltzes into the press box and takes it, which was not what the team ordered, not what the team wanted, but they're still scouting sidelines because that's part of what they do. And so there's sort of an example of your middle ground. I don't know. I can't tell you that I know that. That's just, you know, what do you believe at this point in time? There's another thing that I don't believe that I find impossible to believe, and it came at the very beginning of Belichick's conference call today. Just play that very first Q&A.
When were you first made aware of the complaint from the Bengals concerning the Patriots film crew in the game this past weekend that the Patriots released a statement concerning?
I guess it was sometime yesterday afternoon.
Okay, so that this is a small detail, but it's... So it happened Sunday. Bill's saying he didn't find out until Monday afternoon. So wait a minute. You had a videographer confronted and a tape confiscated in another stadium after a confrontation with team and league personnel, and that didn't filter through the Patriots organization to you until 24 hours later? How is that possible? So, I mean, I don't know what this means, but it's like that's just another one that is just... So wait a minute. You had another videographer confronted and a tape confiscated from an opposing team and the league, and you didn't know about it till 24 hours later? No one told you? What's that? So
yeah.
So that's just another one that I find impossible to believe. And if he's fudging that, what else are you fudging? So that's just another one. Like, it's that goes right back to Deflategate, where Mike Kensel and, you know, league executives are storming up and down the sidelines and banging on the Patriots locker room door at halftime. And Bill says, I didn't know about the accusations until the next day. Like, what? So, like, when Bill tries to distance himself too much to the point where it's hard to swallow, it's like that gets my antenna up as well. But generically speaking, did Bill know, endorse, order the guy to shoot sideline video from the opposing press box in Bruins gear? No, of course not. No, of course not. Bedard joins us here late. You got a quick minute? Your thoughts?
Well, basically, I agree with Maz and you, basically. I mean, my overall opinion is the same as Maz, which is I believe the team. I think they were just shooting this thing and that some idiot on the production crew fixed the camera, just started rolling for B-roll, forgot about it or whatever, and that was it. But
that I don't believe.
Well, I mean, something along those lines. He was shooting B-roll, and he didn't know he was supposed to not be doing that, whatever.
8 minutes?
Eight minutes isn't that long.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think it's that long.
It is long. 8 minutes is long.
For a cutaway?
You're the TV boy, so
yeah, I'm telling you.
Greg, in all seriousness, 8 minutes is long.
For a cutaway?
It's long.
I mean, if it was just focused in one place. I mean, if they were shooting the stadium, I don't know. But the other thing is as Murray alluded to, I mean, if the video shows fixed on the coach's box on the sideline for 8 minutes, that's a problem. So.
Absolutely. That's a problem. How big of a problem? Let's see.
But I agree with you on the Ernie Adams stuff. All of this comes from Ernie Adams. You know, whether it was Spygate or if they were doing anything here, it would come from Ernie Adams. He would say, oh, we got somebody going to Cincinnati, you know, put the camera on the sidelines.
That seems believable.
That's what he does.
I mean, he is. He's covert ops. And,
but the other thing is, there's nothing really to glean from it anymore.
Right. So
there is the communication on the field to the linebacker. And the big thing is really the most amount of hand signals that go on defensively and actually on offensively and defensively is substitutions. That's it. But you could figure that out if you're on the sideline in the middle of the game in the first drive.
I'm actually fascinated by that piece of it, which is what are you looking at? You know, what did you look at there with Pete at the end of that Seahawks game? And why were you so interested on making sure you knew where McVay was at all times? Like, what? And so then between the personnel and you're getting eyes on their bench, like, what? Because you can't. The offensive signals are radioed into the quarterback. The defensive signals are radioed into the linebacker. So what? I'm curious to know, really, like, what are you looking at?
I think he's looking at body language,
yes.
and he's trying to get a sense as to whether someone has commanded the situation or not.
Exactly.
Like, you can tell if someone's sort of panicky, and, you know, and then you can get, you know, they're panicking. They're going to do this. This is what they're going to do. They're going to do something stupid here because they're panicking. So, because I think Belichick, he's got ice water in his veins, man, when the game runs. And that's his real strength. Everyone else starts, the game speeds up on him, and on Bill it doesn't. And when he sees it speed up on someone else, he knows he's got him.
Okay, so those are our opening thoughts. We'll take some of yours. We want Greg's thoughts on the football team as well as we continue to cover this story and discuss, well, the Patriots and where they are at this stage. Your calls and thoughts and more of ours right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
how differently do y'all operate, you know, after everything that happened in L.A. when the NFL finds y'all into the draft pick? How differently, just from an entire, you know, as an entire franchise, do y'all function now than maybe you did before all that happened?
I mean, we always try to do everything the right way. You know, look, we're competitive, and we'll, you know, try to be competitive in every area, but I mean, we don't knowingly, intentionally want to do anything that crosses the line. But since that's happened, I'd say we've tried to keep a good distance behind the line and not maybe take it as far as we would might have in the past. But I mean, it's never really fundamentally changed there.
So that was Bill with the Cincinnati media. What stood out to you in that comment, man?
That line where he says, we might not take it as far as we did in the past.
That's quite a revelation.
I mean,
what a little dose of honesty there.
Well, right. What that is a tacit admission of guilt. And Bill has acknowledged in the past, I mean, I think he's come right out and said, we were wrong with regard to a Spygate. And, I almost said Deflategate there because you get them mixed up, unfortunately. But when he says, you know, we won't go as close to the line as maybe we would have in the past. Basically acknowledging, yeah, we pushed the limits before. And so to me, this is the fallout from that thing. And in case, look, no Patriots fan wants to relive this thing. I get it. Okay, I get it. But the real penalty of the transgression is this. Every time the littlest thing pops up, whether it's little or not, maybe this isn't little. But whenever something pops up, your credibility's shot. You have no credibility whatsoever. Nobody believes you.
How do they deserve the benefit of the doubt?
They don't. They don't. And this is what Bill's real penalty is. Again, the draft pick, the money, fine. Okay, that was a long time ago. And they can handle the money. We all know that. But what Bill did to their credibility with that stupid thing in Spygate is the real cost of this thing, and he will never live that down.
We have to see how seriously the league takes it and sift through it. You know, it was an interesting progression yesterday where it came out, they asked the question in Cincinnati at the press conference, and Diana Rossini had some early tweets, and then Patriots media cartel blast, text blast, a whole bunch of reporters here locally had the same story. Nope, nothing to see here. They were there for Kraft Sports Productions. They were filming a scout, and nothing was of the sideline. Nothing is, and then it's like there was further reporting from Diana, which was, well, no, actually, that was trained on the sidelines. They weren't interviewing the guy. It wasn't an over-the-shoulder shot of the guy. He was confronted by Bengals personnel. They taped the conversation. So, and then the Patriots come up with a statement at night that basically admitted, yeah, actually, we did, but we didn't mean to. So that's now where we are. They admit they did it. They just didn't mean to, which, again, that's a tough one to swallow if you followed the Patriots over the years. We did it, but we didn't mean to. Ian Rappaport, though, so this that's the setup. This Ian Rappaport, again, who was part of those wave of positive tweets in the afternoon yesterday before, you know, the nighttime happened. He had this afternoon on the NFL Network.
From a logistics standpoint, there really are not many teams actually giving signals anymore either. Maybe substitution patterns, you could get the body language of a head coach, but this is not like years ago where you're signaling things in. Calls come in through the headset now, but I do get the same sense that the league is inclined to believe the Patriots' explanation. But obviously, Tom, that doesn't necessarily mean the Patriots are off the hook. They did admit that they did not alert the Bengals. They didn't alert the NFL. Clearly, there was at the least a miscommunication here, which would lead me to believe, based on the people I've spoken with, that if they got penalized, it would be something along the lines of a fine.
Okay, so the league's inclined to believe the Patriots' story. If there's something, it's along the lines of a fine. That would be excellent news. That would be a great result. From the other, on the other end of the spectrum is Bill getting suspended, which is what Goodell told him would happen to him if he ever ran afoul again after Spygate 12 years ago. So those are your two extremes, and they're going to get something. Don't we agree?
Yeah, I think at a minimum they're looking at some sort of fine. The question is how severe.
They acknowledge they violated the rules.
Yep.
Okay, so it's not a question of if they did it or not. They did it. The question is whether they intended to. So there's going to be some sort of discipline. The question is, what is it? Fine, draft pick, Belichick discipline, et cetera. Is there something they do internally? You know, just to go back to Ernie, The whole league is paranoid of Ernie.
Sure.
And probably for good reason.
Yeah.
You know, what's he up to? What's he doing? What's he looking at? What's he got, you know? And so are there fall guys internally that the Patriots can make a scapegoat of and that satiates the league and the other owners? Like, there's middle ground in there.
Well, see, and this is where I get my backup, okay? Because it happened in Deflategate, where the guys who ultimately got screwed were a guy in the locker room that was Jastrzemski, right? And McNally was Jimmy Hotfingers.
Yeah.
Okay, these are nobodies. These are guys who just work at the stadium that do what people tell them to do. So those guys lose their jobs and their livelihoods. And meanwhile, the people that really made the decisions suffered no consequence whatsoever. So this is where I get my backup. If someone's going to be penalized, it's got to be somebody who made the decision and knew they were doing something wrong. You follow me?
Yep.
Like, so as much as we make cracks about McNally and Jimmy Hotfingers, and listen, I'm all for a good laugh too, that guy's out of a job. Like, who knows what happened to those guys? And one year we asked Jonathan Kraft about it at the Super Bowl and said, why were those guys let go? And he didn't really answer the question. And so, like, those are the people that get screwed.
So, again, the guy who sits down in the second or first row of the press box in Bruins gear and starts to film the sidelines of the Cincinnati Bengals. I want to know, was that one of the freelancers or one of the, because there was a mix. So the Patriots statement said that the film crew there included independent contractors.
Correct.
Okay, which included independent contractors who shot the video. So maybe they're telling you that the Bruins guy was an independent contractor. But that's a little unclear to me. So when they say that the video crew included independent contractors, that's also saying that the video crew included full-time employees. Otherwise, they just would have said the crew was made up entirely of freelancers.
Correct.
So there is a mix there. There's, you know, there's probably some stringers.
Half and half.
Stringers there from Cincinnati and guys there from Kraft Sports Productions, full-timers. So who's who? And who's the guy in the Bruins jersey? Who's the numbskull in the Bruins jersey who sat down in the press box and started filming the Bengals sideline, apparently right behind Bengal scouts? Like, who's that guy? Who's that guy?
You got me. I don't know. I mean, you know, I know what you're asking that rhetorically.
And yes, I'm asking that rhetorically.
I know, like, you are.
You've got it. Frank the Tank sits down in the press box in front of the Bengal scouts and starts shooting their sideline.
I mean, it's got to be a kid, right? It's got to be a kid who doesn't know any better. He shows up in a Bruins sweatshirt. And when I say a kid, I mean someone in his 20s who's just doing what someone tells him to do when he wore a Bruins sweatshirt to a Bengals game.
So this is Bill's kind of out, which is, would you listen to this? Like, this is, what do you think this is, like, high-level spy work? This is some kid on our staff or that we've been hired from Cincinnati for the day who maybe thought he was doing us a favor or who knows what the hell, but you think, Roger, you think we're waltzing into the press box and shooting the Bengal sideline in front of Bengal scouts? Like, so is there's such an easy out there that I believe, like, that's true. But then there's a whole nother part of it. Boy, they're interested in the other sideline. And Ernie's still lurking around there. And 8 minutes in the coach's box? That guy who shot it, if that's true, the guy who shot it knows what he's doing. 8 minutes on the coaching box, that's no cutaway.
I mean, don't you think we have to at least see part of that tape?
Yes. Oh, and this is another thing.
I would love to see the whole 8 minutes. I don't know if they'll give us the whole 8 minutes.
The huge fallout from Spygate. The reason you got port on Deflategate is because in Spygate, they destroyed the tapes. They came to Gillette. They went into Bill's secret room, which only he and Ernie and a few others had access to, found all these tapes, all these notes, all this handwritten stuff, and they destroyed it. They shredded the notes. They stomped on the tapes. Jeff Pasch stomped on the tapes and destroyed them. And the rest of the owners in the league said, wait a minute, what are you doing? And Roger said, you know, I've given the suspension. There's nothing to see here. And the rest of the league said, you just conspired with the Patriots to destroy evidence and no one knows what's going on. And that's why when Deflategate came around, you got bent over. Because Roger had to make up for what he did there. So we're going to see this tape. We're going to see this tape. And when I say we, it means other owners are going to see it. The league's going to see it. He has to. He can't make the same mistake he made in Deflategate and destroy the thing and stomp on it. He's going to show it.
Oh, no. If he does that again, he loses his job.
Exactly.
He loses his job.
The other owners are going to see it. And if the other owners are going to see it, someone's going to leak something. So that's coming. We're going to see the tape. That I'm confident of. Those are all our thoughts. We'll take yours. We're going to talk about the team as well. We'll do it with Bedard. He's still here as we're just going over all the details. We'll do three up and three down and his thoughts on the state of the team right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks. He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, let's turn our attention to the team and the state of it with Bedard here. He's gone over the film, and so he's got some very specific thoughts about the problems with the Patriots. So I do want to get to the problem, so let's blow through the three up. Just give me your three up at once.
Joe Tooney, James White, Julian Edelman, with an honorable mention of Dante Hightower as the one defensive guy.
Tooney, White, Edelman.
Yep.
Okay, Maz?
I came close on Hightower. I went Edelman, White, Bailey. Again, the punter. Same three guys every week. I mean, in this game, it was hard to find three. Really, it was so hard to find guys who played well in this game.
Okay, give me your three down. Who was your number one dud there, Greg?
Isaiah Wynn. I had him for 13 minus plays.
Holy crap. How many?
13 minus plays, 7 total quarterback pressures, a sack, 1.5 sacks, 2.5 hits, 3 hurries. He hasn't been good since he's been back in pass pro. He hasn't.
Jesus.
He's a good run blocker, but he has not been much of an upgrade over Marshall Newhouse pass blocking. I'm sorry. That's just a fact. He has not been good. And then my number two was James Ferentz. He absolutely got his rear end kicked all over the place. And my number three was Sony Michel, who this is the first time ever, and I've never been the biggest Sony Michel guy, but this is the first time I was like, he left yards on the field. He did not run hard. He deserved to be benched if that's what happened, and he should sit on the bench for a while. Maybe they should try Damian Harris.
Three down, Wynn, Ferentz, and Michel, Maz.
So I stayed away from the fat guys because I knew Greg would take care of those. So I went Jacoby Myers number one. Those were huge drops. Huge. One on third down that ultimately, you know, resulted in you losing the ball on downs, which effectively is a turnover. He dropped a touchdown pass. Like, those are massive, massive plays in a game of that magnitude against that sort of opponent. Number two, Jonathan Jones. I'm sorry. Third and 19, second and 25. You can't give those up. Those are just, those mistakes are too big to give up. Third and 19 and second and 25. And a week after, he gave up back-to-back effectively touchdowns against Houston. And then third, I had Sony Michel, who I thought ran like a wuss in this game. I don't know any other way to say it. We put the video up on our Instagram page and on our Facebook page. He just soft-footed it the whole time, which is why he got 6 touches. They were all bad. And he never saw the field again, effectively. And that's because I'm willing to bet Belichick saw what we saw and said, this guy has no interest in digging and fighting today, so get his ass off the field. And they put Burkhead in there.
Greg?
What?
Okay, I thought you had a thought on that. Oh. What's the problem with the team?
Well, I mean, it's the offense. And right now, I think this game sort of crystallized it, that it's the blocking has been horrendous up front, and they don't have enough weapons. I think they could be fine with one or the other. If the line was terrible, but Brady had weapons to throw too quickly, he could manage it. If they had a great line, they would probably run the ball and Brady would figure it out with the weapons. But right now, I mean, they were terrible against the Chiefs. I mean, right now, the Chiefs just, Spagnuolo was like, all right, basically what he did was, I'm either going to blitz with 5 because you can't block them one-on-one, including Chris Jones over James Ferentz, which was just an absolute mismatch. Or I'm going to drop off and I'm going to double Edelman and or White, and let's see what you can do. And they can't do anything. And the big thing is, you know, McDaniels is resorting to these trick plays, which he has to do, because they have to figure out how to get some chunk plays. Because if you're asking this offense to go 12 plays to score touchdowns, forget about it. It's the grenade offense. There are grenades going off all over the place, whether it's Wynn missing a block or James Ferentz or Jacoby Myers dropping passes or Matt Lacoste can't get off single coverage. It's just every play there's something with this offense.
I mean, Greg, to your point, last year they didn't have great weapons.
No.
But they could block.
Yes.
So they went to the running game and it was enough. Right? It was enough. Ultimately, it got him a championship. Did you do pressure percentages on this game?
Not yet, but I can get them by the end of the show.
Okay, because it felt like Brady was, you know, under pressure a lot.
It was a lot. Yep.
I mean, it felt like a lot.
Should the offense be better? Can it be better? Or is this what it is, given the personnel's that bad, they cannot be any better than this?
No, they can be better. And here's the bottom line. As bad as they've been on offense, and make no mistake, they've been terrible on offense, especially the last 5 or 6 weeks. They're still in every one of these games. The offense just needs to be a little bit better, and I think that's the hope, that Ted Karras comes back. I can't believe I'm saying that. But I love Teddy, but he comes back.
If that's
wins
the savior,
better.
Trouble,
yeah, if right. that's the savior. Yeah. Wins better. I think his inexperience showed in this game that he was not ready for prime time in this kind of matchup. But hopefully, by the divisional round in the playoffs, he is. That wins better, Karras is better, they do better on the offense, and then there is a lot of hope. Sanu's usage, he's been on a pitch count, basically. But he's getting healthy. He is also limited in terms of what he knows in the playbook because he's missed so much practice time with injuries. So the hope is, by the divisional round, that he's able to play 60 plays in the game, like Baltimore. And that Harry can be better. And I think there's some hope for that. So all of a sudden, you get on that fourth down play, fourth and goal from the five, and instead of a hobbled Sanu, Myers, and Edelman, it's
a fully functional Sanu.
Yeah, it's right. Harry. Sanu's running that in cut where it should have gone to Myers, and then you have Edelman on the backside. You get that, and you get better execution. Then all of a sudden, this offense is staying on the field more. They're putting up more points, and it's enough with this defense.
Who do you blame for the offensive personnel? Circumstance, bad luck, or Bill?
100% it's Bill.
Disgusting.
I mean, I think I sent you the depth chart from August.
Okay, you didn't send the people, but go ahead. Explain yourself.
Sorry, Felger. I meant you.
No, what I'm saying is, but that does the listener no good.
Yeah. The depth chart was just terrible. It was terrible in August. And you can't tell me that they were, they knew Josh Gordon was going to come back. They didn't, and he's not even here anymore. I mean, they did Maurice Harris, Dontrell Inman, Demaryius Thomas. These guys were really the plan. They caught all three of them. They had no plan at tight end. They had no plan at backup tackle. I don't want to. Okay, so Veldier retired. Schwenke retired at interior lineman. What? There aren't other offensive linemen out there? You can't trade for somebody functional? They traded for Corey Cunningham and Jermaine Illuminor. Are they just getting paid to watch? So like, what is going on?
So you don't give them credit for Antonio Brown. You don't give them credit for Sanu. You don't give them credit for drafting.
Antonio Brown was just it was like Gordon last year. It was a last gasp. We're in trouble. Let's go get something. We'll not even investigate the player. Let's just get him. Yeah, no, I think that was just, it was a CYA move because they had completely botched the offseason offensively. I mean, even at
backup
center. I
think they had
center,
him in the back pocket. Is what I think. It's just another example of a guy knowing he's got a landing spot in New England, so he blows himself out of town where he is. It's happened like 3 or 4 times.
There's no way. They were not planning on that at all. There's zero chance of that. And then even look at things like backup center. Okay, so I like Ted Karras. He's a good guy to have as a game day backup at center and guard. You could throw him in there. But if the worst happens, he's a completely different player than David Andrews. What's wrong with getting some sort of undrafted athletic center or whatever to back up there? And all of a sudden they're paying the price for that.
100% on Bill the GM when it comes to the offensive problems personnel.
If this team does not win a Super Bowl, it's because of the moves that Bill made on offense or the lack thereof. I mean, he basically said with his choices and what he did on defense, keeping everybody, I mean, they don't have a backup center, yet they have 8 different linebackers to choose from to play in a game. He risked, maybe he saw it all. Maybe they win the Super Bowl title, and he saw it, and he said, this is going to be a great defense. We're going to ride it to a Super Bowl. We don't need to worry about the offense. Okay, fine. But if they don't win, it's on him.
Okay, thoughts on the Bengals and that situation and the taping? Thoughts on the team to you, I promise, right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Stop it.
So back to the videographer last time. He's there, and he decides, if in fact he just put the camera on the Bengals sideline for a quarter, was that just a rogue decision? I mean, was it, what was he trying to accomplish there? Why do you think he would do something like that?
Again, I think that was covered in the statement that the organization made. I don't really have any idea what the nature of that was or wasn't. I don't even know what was done. So I can't answer that question. I don't know anything about it.
Okay, Belichick this morning with the Cincinnati media, but that's really the crux of the question. 8 minutes trained on the Bengals bench. If that's true, I know a lot of you want to say that an early report was that 11 to 12 balls were at least 2 PSI lower, and it didn't turn out to be the case. So is this the 11 of 12 balls equivalent? It wasn't 8 minutes. It was 80 seconds. Let's find out. I don't know this. This I don't know.
I can't believe we're back here.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
It's unbelievable.
This is ridiculous. So, I can't wait for Ben Gate and Context.com.
So if the athletic report is...
Scoutgate.
What is it?
I'm calling it Scoutgate.
Scoutgate. If the athletic report is erroneous, then we're talking about something else. So, but if there was 8 minutes trained on the Bengals bench, the coach's box of the Bengals bench... I'm sorry, that's no cutaway, that's not B-roll, that's going to be hard to explain.
Yep.
And so the video will show it. The video will show it, as will sort of the way the guy carried himself when he was confronted by security, a Bengal security, NFL security. So he was confronted, and they recorded that conversation too. So that'll also, you'll be able to glean something out of that, I think, as well.
I mean, I want the whole thing. I want the whole enchilada. I want it all. I want all the video that's associated to this thing so we can make our own judgments.
Okay, as promised, your reaction. Scott in Connecticut, go ahead.
Hi. I used to be a news photographer, so let me just give a little perspective.
No. You got to be quick, Scott. Go straight to it, please.
Okay. When the photographer is shooting, he's waiting for something exciting to happen. Most people are boring. Their hands are at their side, and they're not doing anything exciting. So he's just waiting for 2, 3, 4 minutes until the guy, you know, screams at somebody or turns and talks to somebody else. It's very conceivable that he's going to wait 8 minutes for something to happen, because that's just the nature of being a news photographer. Most of the stuff never makes it on the air in the final cut.
Okay. 8 minutes for a cutaway, I'm not familiar with that.
I think we need to get the wood on the phone.
It'd be, you know, if the Cincinnati coaches were the subject of the piece.
Correct.
Yes. But the story, allegedly, was about a Patriots scout.
Right. If your camera's on him for 8 minutes.
Fine.
I might get it.
Of course. Or if it was on him for 8 minutes as he's sitting there, so he does something. But this was not, according to the story. Again, according to reports. 11 of 12 balls were, so like, again, if the report's wrong, the report's wrong. But the report says it was not an over-the-shoulder shot. So are you training the camera for 8 minutes on the Bengals coaching box to get a 10-second cutaway for your story about the Patriots, Scott? I'm sorry, I find that hard to believe. I do.
I mean, look, one of the bottom lines in this whole thing is, if the, say the Patriots did want it, the signals from every opposing team that they're going to play, all they have to do is buy a ticket, sit there and use their cell phone
exactly.
from across the way.
Right.
I mean, you buy a ticket in the third row, you can get a clear shot if they wanted to do that. So I don't really believe it. I mean, but the other thing is, you know, there was a time before that we had the coaches film available. Like, I would use my cell phone and, like, take coaches film, you know, basically from the video yeah. from the press box.
Yeah.
But even I knew that was illegal. It was like, oh, crap, I could get busted and have my, like, press box credential pulled.
You're not allowed to do that, even as a press guy.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So, I mean, there's no way the Patriots ordered this dingbat with the Bruins gear in the Bruins sweatshirt to record the Bengals sideline in the press box in front of Bengals scouts. Like, that's totally believable. That, of course, is true. Belichick didn't know about that. If he knew about that, he would have lost his mind. He would have flipped his lid. He didn't know about that. He didn't order that. That's sort of obvious. But is there some sort of middle ground there where those guys get sent out the door saying, well, if you get some of the sidelines, we can use it because we still look at the sideline.
I mean, again, it's...
And the idiot says, okay, you know, Ernie uses this stuff, so I'll just keep the camera rolling.
Yeah, it's a reasonable... I think that's a reasonable question. We need to see that tape. We need to see
you
it.
You will. You will. They're not. Jeff Pasch ain't going to go into the Patriots' bowels and find the tapes and stomp on them again. That's not happening. Roger did that the first time, and that's why the owners came down on him. Steve in Yarmouth with the Patriots question. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, so I've heard a lot of people call up your show and say that the Patriots should have drafted DK Metcalf instead of N'Keal Harry, and I think that's the dumbest take of all time because, to me, Metcalf and Harry are like the same player. The guy they missed on is Deebo Samuel from San Francisco. I mean, he's fast, he's explosive, he can play outside, he can play inside, they hand off to him. Like, that's the guy you take at 32, at least I think. I mean, instead they draft the baby giraffe from Arizona who can barely figure out if he scored a touchdown or not.
Steve, it's a great call. I mean, it's not the dumbest take of all time. Like, that's the only thing I would disagree with you on, but it is true. When I watch DK Metcalf, I say that's N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, he's raw.
Big, raw, yep. physical guy. They just use him and go to him. That's the difference. Here, they buried him. But either way, would DK Metcalf have been the wrong guy for this team? I think
yes.
that's a fair, you know, is N'Keal Harry just sort of a big physical boundary guy as opposed to a precise route runner or a heady receiver, which we don't even know yet? I mean, is there something to that? Is he the wrong fit for this team, Greg?
Not necessarily. I think they were looking for a boundary guy to help them there. Some sort of way where they would be free of man coverage. And with him, it's his body, it's his strength that he can get open, and basically when he's covered, he's still open. So they were looking for that. But I do think, you know, watching the 49ers, Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders working pretty good for Jimmy.
Oh, watching Manny Sanders in that game at 1 o'clock before you came on, enough to make you sick to your stomach. They got dynamic. And I guess I just have to qualify this. I guess San Francisco wanted Sanu first as well. Like, there was a bit, you know, they both, San Fran and the Patriots, wanted Sanu first.
And the Patriots outbid him. That's why they got him.
And the Niners, their consolation prize was Manny Sanders.
Well, I mean, I could see why that Shanahan would want him, because Sanu,
system.
He had Sanu in
I get
Atlanta.
It. Oh, but he's just half the player. Or, I mean, I don't mean that, but he's just not as explosive or dynamic. Troy in Dorchester, go.
How you guys doing? So I'm just baffled because there's really no advantage to recording the sideline anymore because everything's kind of done electronically, for one. And then for two, I mean, any little thing that the Patriots do, the media is going to jump on. I just think we're making a lot of it for no reason because, again, the Bengals suck and there's no advantage to doing it. So, you know, like, we're jumping on it because it's something to jump on, sure, but it just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, two things. The no advantage, I don't know. I told you this in the first segment. I'm just curious. They still look at the sideline.
They definitely do. Bill put stock in that. There's no two ways about that.
So it's still illegal to tape the sideline. Even though the play calls go into the quarterback's helmet and the linebacker's helmet, it's still illegal to do it for a reason because I think teams scout the sideline. Personnel groups, there's still some hand signals. And, you know, the whole thing on defense. What if the middle linebacker goes out of the game and the green dot's off the field? You got to get the play in there somehow. So there's still some sort of just a mechanical thing that you can look at, whether you're scouting body language too or comportment. Like, oh, they still look at it. I mean, it's in the Super Bowl videos, they put it in there. Bill's looking at Pete Carroll in the last minute and says, wait a minute, you know, let's see what they do here. And then in the Rams Super Bowl, it's like, where's McVay? Where's McVay? They made a point.
Josh, where's McVay? I can't find him.
There he is. They put it in the video, for crying out loud. Bill wanted to know where. So they watch the sideline. They scout the sideline. I'm actually fascinated to know what exactly are they scouting there and what are they looking at and what's that.
Well, and maybe there's a tell there too. In other words, you know, we all got little twitches and mannerisms, and that, you know, Ernie Adams is the kind of guy that would watch a sideline and say, you know, if he starts, you know, rubbing his left ear, and I'm giving him, starts rubbing his left ear on the pass, they, you know, they run past there 80% of the time.
I'll read you Deflategate story. It has the same markings of the Deflategate stuff where they send in the video crew. If you get caught, tell them you're with Kraft Sports Productions and like that whole thing. But they would come back with the video. They'd give it to Ernie on Monday, and he'd spend the rest of the week locked in a room going over the video, trying to figure stuff out from the sidelines. So is he still doing that? I mean, I don't know. What else is he doing? So just maybe. But the thing, the second part he said about the media overplaying the story or whatnot, I don't feel that's happening, by the way. I feel ESPN is being very careful with how they approach it.
I think most people are, actually.
And I think most people are, right? I don't think you have any jumping to conclusions. You know, like you have sort of in the past.
If anything, ESPN and those stations are only spending a few minutes on it.
They're just mentioning it and moving on.
Whereas before, you know, with Deflategate, it would be like hours and hours of coverage.
Oh, seriously.
I mean, it'd be national news.
Yeah, mushroom cloud.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable.
I mean, I'm fascinated by the stuff. You know, I've got a fixation on these stories, and I like these stories, so I spend time on them. I'll play it up, but I don't think it's really getting a ton of play like these other things.
No, not yet. I mean, if it balloons into something bigger, then look out.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Greg Bedard is in our Town Fair Tire Studios, and he's brought to you by Jarvis Ford. As John and Michael Jarvis like to say, honesty, integrity, and family. It's not just how we do business, it's who we are. Jarvis Ford.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.